Gillian Campbell for 105.9 Bishop FM, and I've been joined by Sandra Mark on her preview evening. Good evening, Sandra.
Hi, Gillian.
How are you doing then this evening?
Well, it was a bit nerve-wracking to begin with, but we've actually got quite a lot of people here now, so I can relax the nerves and start to enjoy it.
The exhibition, it's all your own work, is that right?
Yes, it is.
And do you want to just describe for us the kind of pictures that you do?
Yes, well, mainly what I do is I work with landscapes. I do love natural landscapes. But I work with silk and with silk thread rather than with paints and a canvas. So I stretch the silk, and I paint the basic outline of whatever it is that I intend to make, and then I do all of the stitching, all of the detail, mainly on my sewing machine.
Wow.
So don't use the patterns on the machine, because it's obvious if you do. They're so repetitive and so accurate. So it's quite dangerous, but you take the foot off the machine altogether and drop the part of the machine that pulls the fabric through, so that all you have is a motorised needle, a bit like a tattooist. So working from there, I then use silk threads to build up the picture and to build up a depth, so that I may have sort of 5 or 6 layers of threads in the foreground, and that gives them the three-dimensional look that they have. People say they have.
Yeah, no, they definitely have. I've just had a wander around and look around the exhibition, and they're really eye-catching. And, of course, with the silk threads, the colours are glorious, aren't they?
They are. And sometimes I do incorporate the odd glittery thread. I love glitter. I'm sorry, especially when it gets to Christmas. But I'm very, very discreet with it. So occasionally I will use a little bit of sort of light reflecting fibres, just to show a little bit of sparkle, you know, show where the light's been coming from or reflecting. So, yes.
Well, I'll look at the pictures in a minute. Would you mind me asking, how did you get into this?
Well, basically, when I went to college to be a teacher, and my main subject was art and English, was my second subject. I qualified, but I'd started a sewing machine business. I'd started putting flares in students' jeans.
Oh, brilliant.
So that by the time I left college, I'd actually started making clothes for men and making suits for men. And as it happened, I made some dungarees. And dungarees were just out of the world at the time. And my mum used to wash the denim in Shildon and post it down to London for me to make them so that they were really soft denim and really original. So that was Trucker Designs. That was my company. I didn't get around to teaching. So I decided after about 4 years that London was probably a big adventure, a good time to move in my life at that time. So I went to London. Of course, I was great at making male clothes. So once we'd settled, found somewhere to live, if we attended any parties, I turned up with my tape measure. And basically, once they'd had, you know, one or two beers, I could get a deposit, get the chest measurements and the neck size and order them up a shirt before they knew it.
Wow. Did you do anybody famous?
I did. Well, this is what it led on to, because I was doing these sort of things, especially with male clothes. I had a bit of a reputation for making really exciting, interesting bomber jackets. Lots of unusual features. At the same time, I'd started selling clothes in a shop in New Bond Street, just off Bond Street, where they sold mainly Burberry clothes. But there were a Greek company and young marketing people that were involved wanted to stock my clothes as well. So they were all one-off original items. And I'm sorry I've forgotten his name, I hope he forgives me, but Mr. Papadopoulos was friends with John Reed.
Right.
Elton John's manager at the time.
Wow.
So it was one of those things that it was a case of being in the right place at the right time. And one thing led to another. So I made, I think, in total around 40, 42 jackets. And, you know, did really well with it. And I was selling on the King's Road too. I don't know if you remember David Dundas, but My Blue Jeans On. He did that song.
Yes.
I put my blue jeans. Well, I did the whole of his, you know, appearance, his dress mode, and and one or two others. I worked for Chrysalis Records, and so it was exciting times.
That does sound exciting,
yeah. Yeah, it was. But unfortunately, I separated from a partner, and best thing to do was to come home.
Right. So back to Shildon.
Back to Shildon with nothing again. started sewing again, making leather clothes. But actually got a job as a teacher. I was given a chance to fill in for somebody else on secondment. And I started teaching at Escombe Primary School. And from then on, I was just into teaching so much. I loved it. And I had all of my experience, you know, to help me and to talk to children I felt at their level, and eventually became deputy and then head teacher. And it got to the point where it was time for retirement. I think I'd achieved my goal. So I had two sewing machines sitting and I wondered what I was going to do with them. Basically, I'm not very good at painting. At college I did printmaking, so I started sort of doing little prints on silk. I'd done some tapestry kits over the winter, just hand sewn, long stitch, bought, you know, kits, and they actually ran out. I think I did the whole of the series. No more designs, and actually thought, I'll have a go at making my own. And that's what I did. And so now I do everything, like I say, in silk and with, you know, fabric paints. And the people seem to love them because we're able to print them now. We make giclée prints, which means we're using 12 inks instead of 4. We get really astonishing prints. You can't tell them from the original. Even I can't at times. I go to touch it like most people do. They go to feel for the fibres. And then you realise, oh, it's a print.
Yeah.
So, yes. So does that help? Was that long story really long?
No, that was perfect. Thank you. So you do manscapes. Where do you get the ideas from them? Where's your inspiration come from?
Well, wait till he hears it. My husband, Albert, him and his camera. Everywhere we've gone on holiday, Albert has... I was hardly with him because he was behind his camera. And a lot of them are from places we've been, like Port Merion, you know, and so they're memorable places for me. And he's, if I get a commission, which I do, he'll come with me and we'll work together on, let's take shots from this angle, and then I can take that and work from the photograph to create my basic design. So, yes. So,
so it's a good excuse to travel as well.
It is. And it
sounds great.
I did a commission for the Mormon Church and went to their temple. Just outside of Bradford. And it was amazing. What an amazing place.
That was fascinating.
It was. And absolutely pristine, the grounds and everything. So that was quite a hard commission because it was made from solid marble almost. No deterioration, no damage. It's brand new. So that was quite a hard one. But they loved it. Absolutely loved it once it was complete.
Yeah, I bet. It sounds
fabulous.
Usually
takes about sort of 5 to 6 weeks to do one.
Would you mind? Can we have a look around a few of them? Can you talk me through it?
Yeah.
Tell me where they are. You got a couple of signature pieces? Or?
Originals one. I think these are mainly originals on this one. This one, the Moss Yard Bay, that actually isn't an original. No, it's not. And that's how good they are. They, you know, you'd look at it and you would swear that they were real stitches.
Yeah, you would.
But the original for that, I sold 2 days after I made it. I'd gone to a fair at Richmond and I'd hardly got it unwrapped. And a couple bought it.
Fine. I honestly thought you did this by hand.
No,
I can't imagine how you achieved that with a machine.
The machine means you can do really tiny stitches, which you couldn't do by hand.
And also it means that you've got strength behind the needle.
Right.
You know, if I do, sometimes I do use some hand stitches if I'm using very thick threads. But honestly, it's so dense by the time you get to the foreground, it's very hard to push a needle through.
Right, yeah.
So you have to have a motorized needle. But of course, that means trying to be accurate is quite difficult.
Yeah.
Where you can be really accurate with your hand stitching. When you're using a machine,
yeah.
You know, if somebody bumps my elbow, wait, it's gone. So yes, I stretch, when the silk's stretched on to a frame, I'm limited by sort of the size of the sewing machine as to what I can do. And quite often I'm working upside down, you know, just the way I can get... Well, I'm not upside down.
No, I didn't think you were. Your picture, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, working from behind.
Which is quite difficult.
Yeah,
instead of
I can imagine.
Being able to... So you have to think of shape and space rather than what it is.
Yeah.
And that's...
And I think these are fabulous.
So you can see with... Yeah. Here, how the foreground is. So I make bigger stitches, tiny, tiny ones, for in the distance.
So that's how you give it a sense of perspective.
Yeah,
right.
That's exactly it, and it just works so well, you know. So you can see on here the tiny stitches.
Yeah.
I've got here, but then when we get to the foreground, we start getting details like the seeds on the grass. And
hence the 3D effect, I guess.
Yeah.
Do you need any special needles to do this? Because silk's quite difficult to stitch, isn't it?
Well, I do.
To work with.
Yeah, by machine embroidery needles.
Right.
But in all honesty, you can work with a standard needle. It's some of the best machines to use for it are actually straightforward, straight stitch and zigzag machines because you need power rather than lots and lots of, you know, decorative stitches. So yes,
is it
any machine really you can do it. My machine is, I mean, I actually have a magnifying glass over it, so I work with a magnifier as well. But the machine I use is a Brother. This one here, it's just relying on the colours, and you can see the light catching on the embroidery threads. And if you sort of move around, you can, if you move your head, you can see that the light changes around them.
Now, that one's entitled Bluebell Wood.
It is.
It's
Brusselton wood, actually.
Is it?
Right. We were riding past, and I have a horse, an ex-race horse, and we were riding past one day, and it just looked fantastic. It was absolutely full of bluebells. And we took some snaps on from the horse's back, but Albert actually went up later and took a few more. But it's an amazing wood, because obviously it's... where the old wagons used to run down. And they used to have a big machine at the top. I'm sure people in Bishop Auckland will know about it, all to do with mining. So that's Brusselton.
That's gorgeous, isn't it?
And this is Bishop Auckland. This is the palace gate of Bishop Auckland. So you can see with this, you know, every one of these flowers is individually done. That's just me moving it, you know, sideways. And, but if you did those with a pattern on the machine, you would see that everyone was identical.
Yeah.
And you would know, you know, that's not real life, really. It's not what I'm trying to create.
Yeah.
So, so this way I can... Everyone is individual, so I choose a different one every time I see it as my favourite.
Okay.
Blending the colours as well, you know, and restricting the colour palette makes a big difference, not using everything, you know.
Right,
fascinated by, there it says, having to thread your machine out several hundred times to get what you...
Yeah. But luckily, the actual machine I have... does automatically thread the needle for you.
That's useful.
If I have to use...
I was going to say, you go cross-eyed,
I mean, when I have to use the other machine, which doesn't do that, it takes me 5 minutes to get the needle threaded.
You must be a good shot.
When it does it automatically, it's brilliant, but obviously it's still a hold-up. It's really annoying towards the end when you're working with really dense... fibres,
the thread starts to snap. Mm. And sometimes I say, all right, I'm not supposed to go any further. Yeah. Change colour, do something different.
Yeah.
That's it. That's a machine saying, no, you've done enough here.
Yeah.
It's like all
what
things.
What happens to the spool?
I just use the same threads on the spool. So
it
doesn't
show it through, it's not really relevant.
And sometimes I want the spool thread to come through because I can put little dots of colour. Yeah. You know, so I could use another colour in it. So, yeah, I deliberately set the machine
set the
to pull it. Yeah,
that
with the tension, just change.
Yeah. Wow.
So, what is it on?
The material.
It's on silk. We're wondering what it's on. Yeah.
And this one, like I said, this one, I discovered that in the winter I did really bright pictures.
Right?
I didn't notice until I looked at the dates of them.
What a great idea.
We've made prints of this and sold so many. People love it, and especially in a black frame. Mm-hmm. And some of them Albert's done, and he's enlarged them.
Right.
You know, so we can... The good thing about the prints is that it's affordable art.
Yes.
People can still have the image.
Prints.
It's still beautiful and at the end.
Yes, that print is fantastic.
And they still look like the original. So
you don't get the shine like you do in the original.
There are some things, but then that you have to have something special with the original, don't you? Otherwise nobody would buy it, would they?
Gorgeous. I really do. A lot of talent.
Thank you.
You must
very
enjoy
much.
Doing it, do you?
I do. I would say it keeps me out of trouble.
How many hours a week do you spend doing your pictures?
I would say I spend about 5 hours a day.
Wow.
But I have rheumatoid arthritis, so my hands, they won't function on a morning, so I have to do most of it in an afternoon. And then they do, they sort of seize up.
Does it help or does it make it more difficult?
It really helps because my mind just is somewhere else. I'm not really thinking of the pain
I'm
in my
aching.
Hands.
The same
with my horse.
Yeah.
You know, I ride this race horse and, you know, I don't feel any pain whatsoever.
How big is the race horse?
He's 16-1. Lovely. He's only 5-year-old and he's only raced once. So he was called a grand day out when he ran.
Oh, I like
he's
it.
A tonic. He's a real tonic. It really helps. So this is a commission I'm doing at the moment. And it's, I swore I would never do animals because lots of people get a living out of doing animals for people. I don't want to impinge on other people's art. So I said I wouldn't do animals, but a lady sent me a photograph of a lovely spaniel.
He's gorgeous, isn't he? What's his name?
On a puffy in the living room.
But you've changed the setting.
Yes, that's it.
But you have captured the dog.
Do you think? I'm glad you said that, because I think I have captured the character in there.
Yeah.
And just that little twinkle in his eyes,
to
show the light. Because it's difficult to do curly stitches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stitches are straight, so everything you do has to be done with a straight line, whether it's small or large. So, yes, I'm chuffed, and the poppy looks right too.
So how long will it take you to do this?
That one's taken me a long, long time. It's taken me about 8 weeks, to be honest.
Wow.
But...
And do you only work on one picture at a time?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have to get a feel for it, you know what I mean? And then I wouldn't like to be switching over.
Yeah.
That one only took long because it was something new.
Yeah.
So I learned a lot by doing it. That's the thing. Everyone, I experiment and I learn something.
Yeah. I'm looking at that. I can see every blade of grass.
Yes,
the dog is sat on.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, good.